things into life to bring us to a point of surrender, to the place where we will recognize and acknowledge that we are nothing without him, that we are helpless without him. Many plans got changed these past 2 weeks. There was things that you had planned and suddenly they were changed and it was different. And you had to come to a point of surrender and say, yes, Lord, I give up. And I believe that's where God wants each and every one of us this morning, is at that place where we surrender our will, we surrender our purpose, we surrender everything and say, yes, Lord, lead me. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 35. We'll read through the verses and then we'll take a look at them. It says, and he went through the cities and the villages, preaching, teaching, journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in your streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, sit down in the kingdom of God, and indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I will be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this morning, I want you to picture with me these here. The thing that I'm going to focus on this morning is going to be these two roads that are presented here. And we'll look into Matthew where it speaks more specifically of the two roads. But Jesus said in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And I want you to picture with me this morning two gates. One is narrow and straight. The other gate is broad and wide. And picture leading away from these two gates a road. On the one side we have the narrow gate with a straight road pointing away from it. On the other side we have a broad gate with a broad road leading away from it. And so as we go through the message this morning, picture the gates being the entering point onto these roads as you take this journey on these here roads. Maybe just to, I'm not going to read all the verses prior that we missed, but I do want to touch on one of the things here. In verse 12, it says this. Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he was teaching, and he sees this woman who's bent over and has this infirmity, and he says to her, but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And understand the book of Luke again is an attempt by Luke to solidify with Theophilus that this Jesus is who he says he is. And I find it interesting that this woman did not come begging to Jesus, at least according to what the scripture says here. He saw her. He saw her and he said, come to me. And he healed her. That's the kind of Jesus that is asking to spread his wings around you, to gather you in as a chick gathers in her, or a hen gathers in her chicks and underneath of her and protects them. That's what Jesus is. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to do for you and I. And because God has allowed man the freedom of choice, he has given us the option of choosing the broad way or the straight way. He has given us the option of choosing the broad gate or the narrow gate, which he talks about in verse 24. I was going down 896 on Password. John and Anna Ruth lived there. 896 takes a long sweeping curve down around a turn, and then it goes up a steep hill. And this was years ago with a loaded truck. I was going down 896 as I'm coming around this turn, getting a little speed so I could get up that hill. Here there's an Amishman with his sulky, his horse and a sulky, the two-wheeled thing. And as I went on the brakes, I realized my brakes weren't holding. And here there was a car coming towards me the other way. And if you've ever been there, there's a guardrail about 2 feet off the roadway on both sides. And so I went into the center of the road and I started flashing my lights and blowing my horn. And the 15-year-old Amishman on the sulky, he swerved his horse over as far as he could against the guardrail on that side. And the car coming towards me went over as far as he could on that side. And I went in between them. And I caught the hub of that sulky that sticks out, the hub of the wheel. Left a mark on the side of my rear tires on the truck. Just left a little mark there. Just caught him a little bit. And I stopped because I couldn't go on the way I was. I was shaking. I stopped. I got out and I talked to the Amishman. And he was shaking as well. And he's talked in a high-pitched voice. And I don't think it was because of his change of voice or anything like that. But I say, in that case, had I been carrying anything that was wider than what it was supposed to be, there would have been a disaster. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you are attempting to enter into the straight gate and carry along the baggage and the corruption and the junk that Jesus wants you to drop at that gate, it's not going to work. Because it is many, many people will choose the broad and narrow way, or the broad gate and the wide way, because they don't have to give up. They don't have to surrender. See, when you come to Jesus, he says, come as you are, but come to me and surrender these things to me. I am the straight gate. And he says, many will be who will seek for it, but not be able to find it. The question is posed to Jesus, and we found back in chapter 9 where Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. And he's on this journey. He's going through these villages. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing people and he's bringing life to these people and showing them who he is. And it says, as he went through the cities and the villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, that's where he was headed. And he was not about to be sidetracked, as we see when they came to him later on in the scripture with the warning that Herod was out to kill him. He said it ain't going to happen. There's things that need to be accomplished, and they're going to be accomplished. And then in verse 23, then he said, Lord, this person comes up to him as he's in one of these villages teaching, and comes up to him and says, and then said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said, and it follows, it doesn't seem like he really directly answered him, but indirectly he did. He said, I am the straight. And he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Okay, what is the narrow gate? The narrow gate is Jesus. If anyone is going to come to the Father, they must come through Jesus. Jesus is that gate onto the narrow way. And it is through him. And there are many that will seek it. And they seek it in many different ways. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But there are many ways that people seek to find and to get in through that narrow gate and would not be able to. The Jews, see, they thought they had it figured out. They were part of this here elite group who would get into heaven and who would, they were already there. There was nothing else to do. They were already there. They had done all the things that they needed to do. And Jesus is saying that many will seek, but few will find. To them, there was a few Gentiles that might be get in, but they would have to become Jews to do that. So it was kind of their mindset was that they were, they kind of had it together. They had figured it out. They were doing religion right. And I stand before you, sorry to say, that there are many, many people in this world today who are doing religion right, who think they have it figured out, who are seeking eternal life, who are seeking to get to heaven, but they will not get there because they have not entered through the straight gate. There's a growing tendency to, and this is a quote from a survey, a research that was done from Barna Research Online. There's a growing tendency to believe that all good people, whether they or not, they consider Jesus Christ to be their Savior, will live in heaven after they die. In 1999, this was taken. So it's a little bit old, but think about how things have escalated. In 1999, the public was almost divided on the matter. 53% agree and 40% disagree that people will go to heaven if they live good. Half of all adults, 51%, believe that if a person is generally good or does enough good things for others during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. Of those who have claimed to have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, let me read that again. Of those who claim to have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, 63% believe that they will go to heaven when they die because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that is right and correct. 11% believe that they will go to heaven because basically they're a good person. 10% do not know what will happen to them after they die. These are people who have confessed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. 7% believe that they will go to heaven because God loves all people and will not let them perish. 5% believe that when they die, they will go to heaven because they have tried to obey the Ten Commandments. Only 2% believe that when they die, they will not go to heaven. So what is it this morning? And I ask a group of believers who I believe have chosen the straight gate. In your mind, what is the basis upon which you will make it on that straight and narrow road? In your mind, what is the basis that you will reach your destination? Because when you choose the broad gate and the wide road, it's possible to repent and turn around and go back and choose the straight gate and enter in and walk on that straight and narrow road. And the beauty of it is, when you come to Jesus Christ, and there is baggage, and there is stuff, and there are things, and you don't know how in the world it's ever going to work, but when you surrender, and you give Jesus Christ the lordship of your life, then He will help you walk that narrow road. And every obstacle will be able to be overcome. He said, "My burden is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So how does that coincide with striving to enter that narrow gate? I believe that when you enter that narrow gate and you give your life to Jesus, your life is not going to be a bed of roses, as some will tell you. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are many, many teachers and preachers and people who will tell you that the broad road can be walked without surrender. Or that the narrow road can be walked without surrender. That the narrow road can be walked without surrender. It's not true. They are trying to rip you off. I received a phone call yesterday. Somebody telling me that I urgently need to go to my computer, that Microsoft is sending error messages that I will be getting, I will not be able to get updates anymore, and they will help me walk through this, fixing this error. And so I talked to him a while. I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Then why are you trying to rip me off?" And he said, "I'm not trying to rip you off. I'm trying to help you." And he sounded very convincing. He sounded very, very convincing. And finally I said, "This is a ripoff. And I don't understand why you would do this." And then finally he said, "Okay, well, you don't want my help, I won't help you." And he hung up. An hour or so later, he called back again. He got Karen this time. And then it didn't turn out quite as good that time, I apologize. But I wished afterwards I would have asked him if he's ready to die. And I thought maybe that wouldn't have been good either. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you this morning, as I warn you, that there is somebody out there trying to rip you off financially, your identity, whatever it is. I would be less of a man, I would be less of a shepherd if I would not warn you. Is that not correct? I want to warn you this morning, there is people out there this morning, today, on the radio, people that you know, people that are preaching, people that are teaching, and they are attempting to rip you off. They are attempting to tell you that the broad road can be walked with Jesus. And it's not true. The narrow road, the narrow gate, when you choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you enter into that narrow gate, there is only room for you. And you enter in one at a time. You will not get in based on the fact that you are a Martin, or that you go to New Covenant, or that your grandfather was a good man. You will not get in. There is only room for one person at a time to enter into that gate. Broad is the way, and many people choose it because it's easy. There was Yahoo Travel released an article entitled "America's Scariest Drives." And the results are frightening. Here's a brief list of some of the roads in America. Highway 1 that travels off the Big Sur coast of California is both beautiful and breathtaking. This 122-mile stretch travels over 30 bridges, which many of them as much as 30 stories straight down. And the web author calls a drop from there to be a fall into liquid oblivion. Do you like volcanoes? Then take a trip to Saddle Road, located on the Big Island in Hawaii. Much of the route is narrow and one way, and there is always the chance of an explosion if the season is just right. And you'd better gas up ahead of time if you're driving from Dalton, Alaska. The nation's loneliest road has steep grades, wild animals, and no stops for 414 miles. The phrase "Tale of the Dragon" sounds like a Japanese movie. Instead, it is a treacherous 11-mile stretch of highway is tucked below the Smoky Mountains on the Tennessee border. This little stretch of road contains 318 curves, and many of them S-shaped and hairpins, and even one nicknamed the Slide. We can only imagine the meaning of that name, behind that name. As scary as these roads sound, there is a road that Americans are traveling that should send chills up and down your spine. And I'm here to tell you this morning that many, many people are choosing the broad road. And that is the scary road, because the destination at the end of it is hell. When you choose the straight gate and the narrow way, the destination is heaven. An eternal bliss. But many are choosing this broad way. Verse 25 says this, and when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? What does it mean that when the master stands up and shuts the door? When is the last time that you have opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's with your last breath. It's with your last breath. I believe that he speaks of death when he stands up and closes the door. And then it goes on and says, and then you will say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. See, there's this argument that goes on. There's this here, this interaction that goes on with the master after he has closed the door, begging to be left in. And I cannot picture any more sorry sight than that picture of standing and begging to be left in after you had opportunity upon opportunity to choose the straight gate and the narrow way, but to stand and beg the master for one more chance. And he says, go away. I don't know you. And he simply is saying, I did not have a relationship with you. I did not have a relationship with you. Depart, you workers of iniquity. In verse 28, it says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a picture of hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and they themselves were thrust out. Who thought they had done it right, who had followed all their religious rituals, thought they had done it right. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, in this passage of scripture, and I'm going to read Matthew 7:13-14 says this, the parallel scripture, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. So we have, in this here passage of scripture, we have two gates, we have two roads, and we have two groups of people. There's the many, and there's the few. And so I ask you this morning, the road that you have chosen, the road that you have chosen, is it the path of least resistance? Is it the path of least resistance, or is it the one that leads unto life? For all you hydraulic gurus that are out there, one of the basic things about hydraulics and power transmission through fluid is that hydraulic oil always takes the path of least resistance. It's lazy. It always takes the path of least resistance. And I'm afraid this morning that there are many Christians who are lazy Christians, who are taking the path of least resistance, who, when looking at the straight gate and the idea of surrender and the idea of laying down what I think is my right, when I think of laying it down, I become lazy because it's too hard. I'll take the broad road instead. Taking the path of least resistance. Verse 24 says, strive. And I was intrigued by that word, strive. To enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Strive to enter in. And the word strive is taken from a Greek word that I won't try to pronounce, but it is where agony comes from. It's the root word for agony, and some of those agonize, those type of things. The word strive literally is likened unto athletes in the Olympics, where they strive to become all that they can be. They strive with all their being. It is it speaks of the straining of every nerve. I say, well, that just don't line up with what I've been taught. What is this here striving to enter this straight gate? I thought that when you come to Jesus, you just lay it all down. You lay it all down. And it's easy. I believe that salvation is right there for those who will ask for it. But it seems that here in this particular passage of Scripture, there was a group of people who were not even seeking. Or they were seeking the eternal reward, but they were not accepting Jesus Christ as the way to get there. There was some other way they were going to make it. They were going to make it by religious activities. And there are religious groups all over America today and around the world who think they are going to make it because of works and activities that they have performed. Religious activities. And right away as your mind goes to being here in Lancaster County, that we might be talking about some of the more conservative. Know what I'm talking about. That might be part of it. But I'm here to tell you today that there are many religious people who are seeking to enter in but are not accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Strive to enter in that straight gate, and Jesus Christ will lead you, will guide you, will help you to walk. See, that is grace. You are now under grace. God gives you the ability to do it. When you enter into that gate, He now gives you the ability to do it. You can walk it. You can do it because He is with you. He's not saying it's going to be easy. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. He said how he had to die daily to this battle with the flesh. And I know that you're sitting here this morning, guys, that are battling with the flesh. And I know that there are women sitting here this morning who are battling with the flesh on a daily basis. You say, why is this happening? I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and everything was told to be good and easy. The battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. That's where it rages. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because you have accepted Him as your Savior, you are now able to overcome. Before you couldn't. It was a burden. It was heavy. It was brutal. It was ugly. But now you are able to because you've overcome. When was the last time you had a battle with Satan? Stop and think in your mind. When was the last time you had a battle with Satan? If you have chosen the broad and the easy way, there is very little resistance. If you have chosen the broad and the easy way, there is very little resistance. When was the last time that you opened the Word of God to evaluate what you were being taught as to whether or not it was truth according to God's Word? Or is it that we come to church on a Sunday morning, we listen to the singing, we join in with the singing, we throw our money into the basket, we say hi to each other, we're nice to each other, we listen to a sermon, we tell the preacher he did a good job, we go home and take off our Sunday clothes. Part of this here journey on this narrow path takes effort to get into God's Word because Satan don't want you there. It's a battle. It takes effort to get on your knees and pray for someone because Satan don't want you there. It's a battle. It's part of this narrow road. When was the last time you dared to voice the truth about the Word of God in an ungodly setting? I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're not meeting resistance, then it's possible you have chosen the path of least resistance. Do you get what I'm saying? If you're not meeting resistance, it's possible that you have chosen the path of least resistance. When was the last time you dared to tell your teenager not to wear something that they chose to wear? The easier path is the path of least resistance. And that's what we choose to do many times, to take that path. Paul said, I die daily. None of us enjoy dying. I don't. I mean, I don't know what it's like, but, you know, none of us enjoy dying to self. Self wants to rise up and be somebody. And until we surrender and say, I am nobody, I need you, Jesus, then we will be led by him. Are you choosing the path of least resistance? Do you hide your relationship with Jesus in the public? How is it with you when you're out in the public? Do people know that you're a child of God? Do people know that you're on that narrow path? Do people know it? Like not praying over a meal when you're in a restaurant somewhere, or you're with a bunch of guys who are not Christians, and you're ashamed to bow your head and pray for your food because there's someone there that may not approve of what you're doing. You choose the path of least resistance. Like going to ungodly places when you're asked to, instead of saying no because you might upset someone. Instead of saying no, we choose the path of least resistance because there's no conflict if you just go along with it. Like watching ungodly movies instead of saying no. When a group of people gets together and they want to watch a movie that's not right to watch, you know it. But you don't have the courage and the boldness in your heart to say, no, I am not going to be part of this. It is choosing the path of least resistance. Is Jesus mentioned in your daily conversation? Or do you find it shameful to speak the name of Jesus in the public? Do you find yourself blushing when you speak his name? He said, if you do, he said, I'll deny you as well when you deny me. We choose the path of least resistance. You say to Luke, this is all physical stuff. What are you talking about? The striving to enter is a battle with Satan and the flesh, and it happens in our mind. Think of all the excuses that Satan offers when those opportunities come up where you are in a place where you, if you bow your head and pray, what are they going to think of me? Think of all the excuses that come up. Well, I could just pray with my eyes open and you know, that way they won't know what I'm doing. Maybe I could go to the bathroom and pray there before I eat my meal. Think of all the stuff that Satan will put into your head. Excuses. There's a battle going on in the mind. And Satan wants you to choose the path of least resistance. And he has men and women, boys and girls out there teaching that it's good and okay to choose the path of least resistance. What if I get questioned? What if they get mad if I say something? What if I refute some ungodly activity? What if they get mad at me? And the battle rages in our minds. Mark 8:38, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the angels. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I ask you again, when is the last time you practiced Matthew 18? I'm speaking to me as well. I say, when is the last time I practiced Matthew 18? Instead of criticizing somebody else for not doing it. When is the last time that I did it? I had to think of an incident where when I was hauling heavy equipment. I went over to a good store to pick up a piece of equipment. I dropped the deck on the trailer and pulled away from it so that you can drive up onto the trailer with a piece of equipment. And I pulled away, and I pulled in there parallel to some parking spaces. There were some cars parked there, and I was parked like this. When I unhooked and pulled away, I went and got my piece of equipment, put it up on the trailer. And while I was doing that, this car came and pulled into one of those parking spots. And like, I don't know how that he figured he was going to get out. He stopped there to pick somebody up. In the meantime, I backed up. I didn't see it. I didn't realize what was happening. I backed up and I hooked up. So he was blocked in. And he wasn't happy about it. And I didn't realize what was going on. I got my chain binder to bind down the load. I threw the chain over the dozer and I got the chain binder to put it on. And then he's over there on this parking spot trying to wiggle his car out of the parking spot alongside of my truck. And his mouth was, he was saying something to me. And so I walked over to him. I was going to see what he had to say. And I didn't think about it. I had this chain binder, this wicked looking chain binder in my hand. And he took off with the tires smoking. And I think, how often is it that we come as individuals, we come to share with someone or to use Matthew 18, we come with a chain binder in our hands with wicked looking hooks. It may not be intentional, but I challenge you this morning to take a look. Are you carrying a wicked chain binder when you're attempting to use Matthew 18? And I say we often choose the path of least resistance because we don't want the conflict. But if there has to be conflict, if there has to be, then don't have a chain binder in your hand because you're not going to get anywhere. I didn't even get to talk to him. And as he burned away, I'm like, The Bible says, and he goes on, he says, they will come from, in verse 29, they will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are the last who will be first and the first who will be last. And it appears like he's speaking of the Gentiles because he speaks of Abraham. And remember, he's speaking to this Jewish crowd who is religiously trying to enter or trying to seek this way but not being able to find it. There are those indeed who will be last, who will be first. Those that are last will be first. And there are the first who will last. He gave the children of Israel, the Jews, the opportunity. They rejected him. And secondly, he gave the Gentiles the opportunity and they accepted the last. The first will be last and the last will be first. On that very same day, the Pharisees came to saying that Herod wants to kill him. And I find it interesting, his humor. Go and tell that fox that this is going to happen. This is the way it's going down. You're not killing me until I'm ready. Basically, that's my words. Then he goes on in verse 34 and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Someday you will do that. Don't miss the opportunity while salvation is here today. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, there is a reason to be saved. And it doesn't restrict you. You see, many people choose the broad and straight way because they say it's freeing. They're free. They're not restricted. You see, when you enter the straight gate, you have to get rid of self. You have to get rid of pride. You have to get rid of unforgiveness. You need to get rid of all those things. You can't take them along with you. If you are entering in the straight gate and attempting to walk on that narrow way, you can't carry those types of things with you. And I am here to challenge you this morning that there is such a freedom in Christ. When you lay down the burden and let him lead and guide and direct. And that doesn't mean the path is going to be easy. It means you will have the grace to walk it. You will have the grace to walk it. So I ask you this morning, which road have you chosen? Which road have you chosen? The end of the broad road is hell. The end of the narrow road is heaven and eternal life with Jesus Christ and God our Father. Close your eyes and ask the Lord, is there areas in my life that I have chosen to take the path of least resistance? Lord, I pray that in this moment, in this time, that you would reveal to us those areas where we have failed you and have chosen to walk the broad road instead of accepting your words and experiencing the freedom that we are able to have through choosing the straight gate and the narrow road and the grace that you offer. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior. I pray for anyone here this morning, Lord, that is depending on religious activities to get into heaven. I pray, Father, that our minds and hearts would be open and that you would receive all the glory and the honor, and that you alone would be the choice, and that you alone would be the source for each and every one of us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for the written word that never changes. I pray that you would protect the seed. I pray that it would grow and would bring honor and glory to your name and to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the chorister to come and lead us in song.